Well, hello and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, brought to you by the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where they are open for business 24-7, serving hot, fresh food. Moan, I just got over here from Steelers OTAs. First day that was open to reporters.
Oh, I remember those first days, man. It's like, ah, here we go, man. It was exciting. It was, as a young guy, it's like, what the world? What am I doing here? As an old guy, it's like, why am I here?
But it's a mostly younger team. So yeah. What you're describing, the first part, there was way more of than the second. But yeah, you see some of the old guys kind of doing this and like thinking about how, you know, they did say voluntary, didn't they? Did they mean it?
Well, that's always up for debate, man. Sports pressure. I always talked about people with sports psychology is more than just playing the game and on field stuff. It's always the side. Voluntary means, well, okay. It's not really. Get in the building. Well, you can leave when you want to is usually stay a little later. It's all kind of ins and out of what this means in sports talk.
Now, we got a bunch of stuff to cover today since we have actual football information to process here. And I'm going to share with those people who enjoy the Ramon Foster Show on a regular basis that Ramon gave me assignments going into this first day because I'm new on this job. And Moan was like, all right, well, you got to find out who the offensive linemen are left to right. See who's rotating. Okay. All right. So check. We'll get to that in the second segment. First segment, Moan did not have to share with me to keep out a close eye on those quarterbacks.
But because the spring can lead to a lot of things, barring something crazy happening over the summer, barring just bad performances. But that first look is not the end all, but it means a little something. I'll say this to the primary guys. To the primary guys, it does. And primary guys meaning the positions in which we're looking at just four starters. Like, not necessarily, you know what I'm saying, like the young tight end group, like twos and threes, not really, but special teams. But
that's what you can see out there. And I can tell you right now that if I'm numbering these quarterbacks, Moan, they are in order. Number one, Mitch Trubisky. Number two, Mason Rudolph. And number three, and if you know how reps are broken down, and you do way better than I do, number three was Kenny Pickett. So the way the reps, you know,
for sure.
I'm not allowed to get into supersonic detail here of everything, but let's just say that that's the order, okay?
It can legitimately go 5-4-3. That's the way, if it's a 12-rep set, it's how it's going to go. Or it can go 4-4-2, depending on what the day is looking like. But on a day like this where it probably got high volume, it could go up to 15 plays, too. So I'd say 5-5-5, but I don't think that's how they do it.
No, let's say hypothetically, if I were allowed to answer your question, that it would be 4-4-2. But since I'm not allowed to answer the question that you just asked, 4-4-2.
And the way I would look at that situation is the two older quarterbacks probably got to figure out how to duel this out. Not necessarily saying that is, you know, somebody's going to win, but I do think they're going to both get a fair shake. Now, again, you mentioned who went number one as far as it being Mitch Trubisky. That says a lot. That set the tone to me. If he has a terrible OTAs, then that might flip around. But I don't see that being the case because it's not a whole lot of pressure in it. And he can get his reps and the execution of timing up with these wide receivers.
I did ask Mike Tomlin his thoughts on the status of the quarterback competition. You can imagine how far that went. I got the first, like the half eye roll. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Uh-huh. And then came something along. I can tell you this much. There's nobody that's winning a job out there. And he pointed out toward the fields on which the OTAs just came. He made a reference to football in shorts. And then he ended it with, I'm not going to give you the answer that you're looking for.
Because why?
Looking for an answer. Because why? Because that's the way this goes. It is OTAs.
It is.
Moan, this is the way this competition is going to go. Everything's going to get magnified.
Can we be real? Also, it's OTAs, but it still means a lot in this era of passing first. it means a lot in the sense that a lot of these young guys were raised in the era of 7-on-7, to where you got your rankings, to where you got your stars, to where you would even go on travel competitions with your group. And I think this is where it's time for this quarterback group to refine itself. Like, he's going to say, you know, there's no answers to be given. But if you're watching it, you see who's either the better guy or who's the guy that's getting the most reps. Because no matter what, when it comes down to it, the entire season is based upon preparation. The entire season is based upon reps, and not just reps, but the efficiency of reps too. And that's what we're getting out of OTAs. It means more to the skill guys, small skill guys, as opposed to the offensive linemen and defensive linemen, other than the actual reps and footwork. So for guys that are, you know, in this style of play right now with OTAs, where it's non-physical, what's the one thing you can still go 100% on without having contact? It is 7-on-7. It is full team period. Okay, I can't sack you, TJ, or CJ Watt says I can't sack you, but and I can't be overly physical. The one positions that you can, wide receivers, no, small skills, screw wide receivers. Wide receiver versus DBs, linebackers versus line, running backs. Like, that's where you're going to get the competitive spirit minus the physical.
Yeah, in coverage, you meant with the latter. Yeah.
In coverage, yeah.
Yeah, and when you're – I can tell you the part of this that we're allowed to report on, you know, that all three quarterbacks showed well. You know, the wide receivers were spotty, really spotty.
Really spotty. Okay, see, and that's what we start to say. That's why I said yesterday or the day before, defenses usually always have the head start because offense is more timing than it is just chaos, control chaos with defenses. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Like, they can get in advance. So you say wide receivers are spotty, I almost say, well, that's business as usual for the most part.
But I like the touch that I saw on from all three quarterbacks. And I do mean all three. I'm not trying to be like really nice here or anything. It's just, all three of them made really good throws. And the thing that I found the most interesting, and I think one of the things we're going to keep an eye on here all summer, Moan, is how they carry themselves. I asked Mason after he came off. I said, so what was this offseason like? I mean, just a few weeks ago, you were number one on the depth chart. And he said, well, I was also the only quarterback under contract. So he at least had a good sense of humor about it. Yeah. Okay. And I asked Mitch Trubisky, you know, about his time here early, and he starts talking about Permanis and going to the top of Mount Washington and everything else. So they're all kind of, you know.
Yeah. It's they're playing the game right now, which they're supposed to. I'm just glad to see they're taking it light enough to where it's on the field. I'm more than sure it's a little bit more of a competition. But to you guys and me, it's all about, well, I'm just here to do my job.
Yeah, I'm here to compete. I will say this. One thing that Mason said that I found interesting, because you're the one that referenced this on yesterday's show, that Mason is really, really competitive and sees himself as constantly being in whatever. And his response when I asked about his attitude or his approach going into this camp was, he said, I'm excited because for years I was behind, you know, a franchise guy, Hall of Fame guy, and I'm not anymore. So I'm here to compete. Now, that wasn't him denigrating the other guys that are in camp. He's just saying the door is actually more open now.
I told you that's exactly what it was. And with more reps, hopefully, we'll see a better part. And I saw some people in the comments saying Mason this, Mason this, and you know what he hadn't done. But you got to look at the opportunity. It's been very rare that he's gotten it and a lot of practice time, fair practice time.
Yeah, well, he got fair practice time today, that's for sure. When we come back, we're going to follow Moan's assignment to a T and discuss the offensive line. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. Ramon gave the assignment. The assignment was fulfilled. It was to make sure that I keep a close eye on the offensive line, rotations. And I, you know, the way you're supposed to do these things, Moan, teacher gives you an assignment. You're supposed to do a little bit extra. So I did. I went and I talked to Mason Cole. I talked to Chooks of Corifor. Chooks says hi, by the way.
That's my brother. Absolutely. He said, he better say hello and text me later.
He said, Ramon, he goes, good human.
That's something he'd say tongue in cheek too.
Good human.
Good human. That's my dog, man. I'm glad to see him maturing some.
He's I asked him just to throw this in, by the way, I asked him, like, what do you have to work on this year? Everything. I just work so hard.
But you know what, to his credit, that's what he does, man. And I'll be honest, from his rookie year to now, he's gotten a hell of a lot better at that, because Chooks used to walk around with a almost nonchalant attitude. But the more you talk to him, the more you just realize that's just him. So for him to acknowledge that he's working and putting in the work, man, I think it's good. And you know this too, he's not a huge talker. So I hope he grabs them and lead them more too, the fact that he was opening up and talking to you.
Well, I think you're going to see – look, let's go over the left to right, following the assignment. the way it lined up, as confirmed by the athletes themselves, because that's the way it has to work with practice reporting, is we have to find out, this thing that I saw, did I actually see it? Yes, you saw it. Oh, okay, so now we're allowed to report it. Obviously, Chooks is, let's start on the left here. The left is Dan Moore. Okay. Left guard is the only position that is in flux, and that's because the gentleman at the other end of this communication has not been adequately replaced. But that would be between Kevin Dotson and Kendrick Green, confirmed by both of those. They rotated with the first team. The center was Mason Cole. The right guard was James Daniels. This also was not known, because Daniels can also play center. And, of course, Chooks at right tackle. So your first thoughts when you – just see/hear the alignment.
We got some guys that's on the clock. And what I mean by on the clock, I'm talking about Kendrick Green and also Kevin Dotson. Both. I'm not dismissing either. But what I'm saying is, one is going to define a role to the staff and to us and to the NFL, that either I'm good enough to start here in Pittsburgh and carve out a career for myself, or I'm going to find myself in a backup role. And I know neither one of them want to do it. And they're young enough also that either one of them can be backups, or if there's an emergence of somebody else or surge of somebody else, then they'll mess around and get cut or get traded. Like, that's where we're at right now, if we're being completely honest about the two. Dotson's had enough time to kind of find his way in this league. And you got a young guy going into his sophomore year in Kendrick Green, to where it says to me, didn't work out at center, because it's clear Mason Cole is the guy as of right now. He's starting off at center on day one, when you started at least 15 games last year.
Yeah.
And now you're out of that position. I'd at least would have thought that he'd be in competition. Kendrick would have been in competition with Mason Cole, and that's not the case. So those two rotating, those two young guys, remember when I said this competition of what they did in free agency was going to lead to better results from one or the other, and one was either gonna go up or go down. No matter who wins what, it's gonna be that. One is gonna trump the other as far as overall competition. This is the best thing for those two young guys, just in general, simply because now they're forced to be pros a whole lot sooner. Now the whole idea of, hey, take a picture with the jersey, everybody loves me, all of those things, or being an older guy like Kevin Dotson of, man, I got time, watch me do work. No. The business is here now. And by the business, I mean, who's the better of the two? You're not giving anything right now. You had your shot your first few years in the league. Now it's all about, what can y'all do for me right now? And especially Dotson, because what is this, year three for him?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
If he's a backup this year and he's not starting next year, what are you supposed to do with him at that point? He ain't got enough film to go out and get a starting spot somewhere else, like I got James Daniels did. Like, that's where we're at, right?
Yeah.
You know, so when I asked you about them, I was really kind of concerned about Kendrick Green and Kevin Dotson as far as their maturity, their professional trajectory of where they're going to be in this league. I knew this. When I started those four games my rookie year, DK, you know what I said to myself? I can't go back on the bench.
Can't go backward. You can't go backward.
And I'll say this. I was in rotation for competition. Yeah. I didn't win the starting spot. somebody got hurt or I played less than, guess what? I go into the game and start, and I never went back to the bench again.
Yeah, you that's can't let where it go. We are. You
whether it's circumstance it of injury or whether it's you outright beat somebody, you're not supposed to go back to the bench. And that's where those two young guys are at right now. So what's to come from that? You know, like whoever wins is going to be the better guy because we both look at him and says, you have enough talent. You have what it takes. And I know it's first day of OTAs, but that rotation shows a lot moving forward for the rest of this year and for training camp.
You want to hear a completely vapid observation? Like this just this means so nothing except maybe to football people. And you're a football people, so I'm going to throw this out here. I got to tell you something here. James Daniels is a physical specimen. Okay, when you see this guy, you don't wonder why he got paid. When you see Chooks, you don't wonder why Chooks got paid. Chooks he's a freak. These two dudes, I'm watching one. There was one set of drills in the end zone, okay? And it was nothing. There was no actual blocking, of course. It's OTAs. Right. It was just formation stuff, you know, move this stuff, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at them. And I'm going, these two dudes are going to be next to each other on the right side of the line. And I thought to myself, maybe they've got something here.
Yeah.
You know, because who likes to run to his right? Najee Harris.
Yep. I think it's strategic. Like I said, I had a Chicago Bears buddy here that was like, you got stole our line. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's free agency here. But that's why. It's almost like he's the biggest secret as far as offensive line in the NFL almost, as far as James Daniels go. So putting him and Chooks beside each other, one, I guarantee you Chooks probably lobbied for that a little bit. I want James Daniels. Probably what he said.
But doing too many Chooks imitations here for comfort.
He'd appreciate it. He'd probably call me Mo. What are you doing? So
his English is better than our Nigerian, as long as we're clear on this.
It is. But let's say this. instead of breaking them up as far as putting James Daniels on the left and putting Chooks with a young guy, I'd rather have three strong guys and let those two young guys, whoever is going to be on the left side, grow together. Therefore, if they're a little bit less in on game day or in camp, you can directly point to them and say, grow the bleep up. You see what we're doing on this right side? You see the work that we're putting in over here?
Notice where they're running all the plays?
Yeah. And then, DK, the psychological part of football is say, man, hey, we gotta go. I can't be the reason why. That was one of my biggest things. I don't care if any position. We can't be the reason why we're lacking. And that's what that right side, if they're all healthy, Cole, Daniels, and Chooks, a core four. If they're holding up their end, that's going to force that left side, I think, into pushing it to where they better find something they do very well. And I mean very fast, too.
When we come back, hey, Moan. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. It's time for our Hey Moan segment, and today's entry comes from Dave Shipley, who asks, Hey Moan, what's more exciting about OTAs, the quarterback contest, or whether or not Stephon Tuitt will show up? I'm a defensive guy, Dave adds, so LOL. Before I throw it to you here, Moan, just to give everybody background here, Steph was not at the opening of OTAs. Cam Hayward confirmed for us that he's still back home in Indiana. I can tell you, Moan, that I saw all of Steph's stuff in his stall.
Yeah.
Cam is convinced he's going to be here and he's going to play, and Cam said so on the record. So that's where it stands right now.
I got a little tidbit to Tuitt. It also is finishing up his degree at Notre Dame. I think they may not have had graduation. So I'm not sure how long Tuitt has.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that. That's interesting.
He's in school. Yeah. And apparently at Notre Dame, you got to be on campus or stay near campus to actually finish up to be a Notre Dame graduate. So at least that was passed to me that he's actually finishing up school, too. So we just saw the bus graduate from Notre Dame also recently.
In person. Yeah, based on the images that we saw, everything was up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but you have to be on campus to actually graduate from Notre Dame, if I'm not mistaken. I could be a little bit wrong because they're a little bit different, very traditional. So which one is more exciting? I say equally both. as far as Tua being out there because of the significance of him, and you know, like I know, DK, watching that young gentleman work, you got to say to yourself, he's a headache. He's uber talented.
Only an offensive lineman would see him that way. But go ahead.
I'm just saying he's a headache. He is, man. And let's not forget, before he got injured in 2018 or 19, before he was on his way to double-digit sacks.
2020, he hit double-digit sacks.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, yeah. The talent is there. And he's had a year off his body. I'm hoping it turns over for him, and the pressure of performing won't ever be a thing to Stephon because it's what he does regardless. Figuring out who's going to be QB1, no, what they look like at QB1, I think is equally as exciting as what Tua is going to do coming out of that tunnel week 1. If Cam gave you the vote of confidence, I'm going to side with Cam on this one because Cam actively talks to him. He's a guy that's in the room with him. And, of course, we're not ever going to try to rush to it back because that's very traumatic on what he dealt with and is still dealing with. And on the top of him graduating from Notre Dame at some point in time, that's the reason he wasn't around. And let's say this too. Who was it, David, that asked the question?
And Dave Shipley, yeah.
Dave Shipley. It's
OTAs. Don't be finger wagging Dave over OTAs. Nah, he's allowed to be excited about. I was excited to be over I'm there today. Excited. You want to hear something else I was excited about to keep going with Dave's topic here? At one point, I just looked over to my left as I was leaving the locker room, which, by the way, was open to reporters for the first time today in 2 years. And it was nice to be back there. Most of it looked the same, except they have these plexiglass barriers between the stalls that are still up. So, but as I'm leaving, I look to my left, and there's Cam holding court. You know, Cam holds court. It goes on for hours, right?
Since I left, okay, Cam, you can
he's,
have it.
He's got to lock up that Chief Award every year. But just to his left, there was Tyson Alualu, and as long as we're talking about Steph here and we're talking about the defensive line, don't forget that it's a trio over there.
Yeah.
And especially if you can spell those guys like we've been talking about on the show and get Isaiah Loudermilk involved.
Yeah.
You know, get the kid in that they just drafted here, DeMarvin Leal. Get them involved. Keep these guys fresh enough, but they're still the guys.
Yeah.
You know,
no doubt they are. The same way that you recognize us walking through the building, the offensive linemen, I think that's kind of, you know, warped over to the defensive side now. Where to your point, Cam, Tyson, and Stephon, those are your dudes. And TJ's holding up his end of it all by tagging along too. He's going to tag along. But as far as his time in the league, he's the young guy that still got a ride in the backseat. Like, TJ going to get him into the club, into the nice restaurant.
Man.
But he's still a tag along with that group.
Here's TJ, first day of OTAs, defensive player of the year, biggest smile on the field the whole day. The whole day.
Because why, DK?
He loves the game.
He loves football.
He loves the game. He's got himself football guys. Oh, hey, one last little thing, just as a little tidbit.
Give me more.
Najee looked like bigger.
Year two.
I don't even know what to make of that. I'm just telling you, he looked bigger, like in a good way. Like his legs were like tree trunks.
What did we say?
Second year. Yep.
To year two.
Just watch out.
And I saw somebody's comment. It was like, Ramon's never been a body guy. Guess what? I didn't have to be because I was strong as an ox, okay?
And smarter than everyone else on the field.
Yeah, hell yeah, I was, DK.
Let's do another one of these tomorrow.
Hey,